Meditation for Thursday in Holy Week. Abide in me as I abide in you. Each day so far, we have looked at a specific character, Mary of Bethany, the beloved disciple, and Peter, as a kind of icon to focus on. Each in their own way was a comfort to Jesus. Today we go to Gethsemane with Jesus. But who will be the character that helps us be present in the garden scene? Here is the text from Matthew. Then Jesus went with him to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." He took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be grieved and agitated. Then he said to them, "I am deeply grieved, even to death. Remain here and stay awake with me." And going a little farther, he threw himself on the ground and prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Yet not what I want, but what you want." Then he came to the disciples and found them sleeping, and he said to Peter, "So, could you not stay awake with me 1 hour? Stay awake and pray that you may not come into the time of trial. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Again he went away for the second time and prayed, "My Father, if this cannot pass, unless I drink it, your will be done." Again he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were heavy. So leaving them again, he went away and prayed for the third time, saying the same words. Then he came to the disciples and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and taking your rest? See, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Get up, let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand." It is extraordinary to see inside of Jesus' prayer, let alone anyone's prayer. And even here there is distance, the eyes through which the gospel writer tells the story, and even the use of words at all when words fall short. Jesus is in true agony here. He's not about to drink hemlock surrounded by admiring friends hanging on his every word like Socrates. He faces the most obscenely cruel torture perfected over centuries by the cleverest people on earth to devise maximum terror not only for the victim but for the populace. Seven last words. "Please, we're always trying to clean up the crucifixion." He will gasp for air in small increments until his lungs fill with water as he dies of congestive heart failure, as well as suffering piercing pain, electric spasms in every part of his body, nerves, sinews, muscles, bones, organ failure. Yes, that alone is paralyzing. But in addition to his fear, here in the olive grove, alone as the others slept, if Jesus himself had any doubts about his mission, those doubts would certainly come up now. Did he believe he would redeem humanity by the offering of his body and the shedding of his blood? Did he believe he would harrow hell and rise from the dead? Did he believe he would inaugurate the prophetic kingdom of heaven, of love? Or, mired in the silence of God, did he wonder whether his mission had been yet one more messianic illusion, like so many others in his time? How could he be human at all if he did not doubt himself? "Let this hour pass from me. Remove this cup from me." In this prayer, did Jesus mean his death? Or something even more torturous, dangerous, difficult, and mysterious? You can't help but want to tell him his life and death are not in vain. Even witness to him your own life's gratitude for his love. But how can you go there, to that faraway garden, to comfort the Christ? Gethsemane always seemed a dead end to me, until I learned this prayer by the 20th century Franciscan monk, Padre Pio. Here is his prayer. O Jesus, how many generous souls have kept thee company in the garden, sharing thy bitterness and thy mortal anguish. How many hearts in the course of the centuries have responded generously to thy invitation. May this multitude of souls, then, in this supreme hour, be a comfort to thee, who, better than the disciples, share with thee the distress of thy heart, and cooperate with thee for their own salvation and that of others. And grant that I also may be of their number, that I also may offer thee some relief. Is it possible for Jesus to perceive in his agony the generations, the millions of people praying with him, keeping awake? In Luke's gospel about Gethsemane, an angel shows up and comforts Jesus. I always think that that comforting angel is a cop-out, an unnecessary distraction from Jesus' true agony as a human being. But then, I want to think that our own prayer might break through the veil and comfort him, that while keeping vigil with him, we, you and I, become the comforting angel. But there's even more to Gethsemane that are comforting than our comforting of Jesus. Jesus prays in John chapter 17 at the Last Supper, a prayer of union. He prays that we may be one, just as Jesus and God are one, that the love with which thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. This union makes Gethsemane a kind of hub of prayer, flowing in and flowing out. Listen to Carol Hauslander's Gethsemane prayer. By your heaviness and fear in Gethsemane, comfort the oppressed and those who are afraid. By your loneliness facing the passion while the apostles slept, comfort those who face evil alone while the world sleeps. By your persistent prayer in anguish of anticipating, strengthen those who shrink from the unknown. By your humility, taking the comfort of angels, give us grace to help and be helped by one another and in one another to comfort you, Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm not through yet. Hold on. The prayer we bring to Gethsemane is reciprocal. We pray for Jesus. Jesus prays for us. We are enclosed in the holy, and the holy enclosed in us. And the demands of prayer have us in Gethsemane, praying for those gasping for breath in this week of death for so many who are dying alone, near and far. I'll give the last word again to Carol Hauslander, writing during World War II. We do truly comfort him most when, recognizing him in our neighbor for the love of him, all that we do in the war ought to be done with that single idea. It is our real war work and our real worship. Put his love into everything. It is not only saints who comfort Christ. Sinners can do it, all sorts of people. In his passion, all are drawn together in one act of suffering and love. There are none, rich or poor, respectable or not, sound or ill, who cannot take part in the passion and comfort of Christ. And they comfort by receiving as well as giving, passively as well as actively. It is by loving and being loved that we endure today. Let us love and be loved. Amen. And here is the reflection exercise. It's a suggestion for tonight's prayer, especially if you keep the holy hour on Maundy Thursday. Go to Gethsemane in your heart, across time. Comfort the Jesus in agony in the garden. And let the Christ across time and space comfort you. Deep within this reciprocal space, this spaciousness of love, gather into your prayer the sick and the dying in our immediate time. Be open to the love others have for you, and open your love across time. All this can be done without words. Just presence is profound enough.